Death of a Swagman, written by Arthur Upfield and read by Peter Hosking. "Listen, Marshall, for sometimes I talk downright common sense," Boney went on. "That hut is not a house or a flat or an office. This sandy flat is not a city. Therefore, an investigation of a crime committed here must be conducted on vastly different lines. Let us assume that at this very moment there is in that hut the body of a murdered man, and that we are about to investigate the circumstances under which he died, and further, to establish who killed him. Now you and Redman, Gleason might not, because he is accustomed to bushwork, would rush into that hut to note the position of the body and the interior generally, because the interior of that iron monstrosity is a room, or the scene of the crime. You would search for the weapon with which the deed had been done, and for clues which might identify the killer. Now wouldn't you?" Marshall nodded. Boney looked at him thoughtfully. "But what do I do?" he asked blandly. "I leave the body to a uniformed constable, and the cause of death to the doctor and the coroner. And to the experts at headquarters I leave the fingerprints, if any, the weapon, if any, the objects more closely associated with the crime. In a city, the scene of the crime is of paramount importance, for there the scene of a crime is confined to a room, an office, a flat, and, if on the street, to a space within a few feet of the body. Here in the bush, the scene of a crime is extended far beyond its immediate locale. Someone has had to go to the scene of the crime in order to commit it, and afterwards to leave the scene of the crime. As the criminal does not grow wings, he needs must walk, and he does not walk about without leaving tracks of his passage for me to see. To the city detective, his fingerprints. To Boney, his footprints. So you will now understand how it is that I am much more interested in the ground outside a house or hut or camp than I am with the interior.